This is an iHeart podcast.
Some fun on a Friday, and woo boy, it's a lot today. Yes, we have asked Dr. Jesse questions the entire show. Someone wants to know how we'd respond to 9/11, Kid Rock, am I mad at Jeff Sessions, Republican questions, Frito Bandito questions, all over the place. We have Kathy Hochul telling 5.4 million Republicans she wants them to leave New York. We have Ghislaine Maxwell back in the news. Hunter Biden in his art gallery. There is so much to get to tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show, but I understand we have to address the memo first. The memo heard around the world. In case you've been out all day, busy all day, I just want to keep you updated on this. All right, the government raided Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. You know about that. That's obviously something that's been all over the news. And so people were waiting to hear some sort of justification. Why did you do it? Well, they released the warrant. The warrant was very plain Jane and vanilla, too. It looked like they were looking for 4 years worth of documents. It just looked like one gigantic fishing expedition. Well, that wasn't good enough, so the outcry was loud. We would like to see the affidavit. I would like to see the justification you used to obtain the warrant to go in. And that came out today. You should see it. I don't think describing it for you on the radio is good enough. I'll tell you this. It's many pages, obviously. It's many pages of entire lines blacked out. It's just a page of blacked out horizontal lines. They released it and they blacked the whole thing out so nobody today knows anything they didn't know the day before. Tell you what, pause on that for a second. Put that in your back pocket. Did I ever tell you about the time I went to a fight, like a UFC style fight? Don't worry, it'll tie back together. Stay with me. Now, it wasn't a UFC fight. It was a cage match. I had been doing some boxing stuff. Don't worry, I'm no boxer, but I've been doing some boxing stuff. I've dabbled in that stuff before. I'd been doing some boxing stuff, and my instructor was going to get in a cage match. He was going to be a fight. He was trained to be a fighter, and he told me about this cage match that was coming up, and it was in a casino. It was in an Indian casino in Arizona. Well, I love fights. Who doesn't love going to the fights? We go out to the fights, and you can definitely tell it wasn't UFC. Don't get me wrong. They had a referee, and they had stands. The crowd was a little rough, I'll put it that way. But they had a referee. They had stands. They had the cages there. But in UFC, the fighters are often, almost always, pretty evenly matched. Yeah, I realize people get knocked out early, but pretty evenly matched. That wasn't the case here. Clearly, there wasn't a ton of vetting done of the fighters. Sometimes you'd have two studs in there. Sometimes you'd have two goobers in there. And then I remember this fight. I'll never forget this fight. Both fighters were roughly the same size. They had weight classes. One guy comes in the cage, and he doesn't look overly athletic or anything, but he's getting himself fired up for the fight. He's doing that thing where they slap themselves in the face, and he's doing the jumping jacks, and he's ready to go, and he looks fired up. And then his opponent comes to the ring, and his opponent is smiling. Smiling is not a good way to put it. Smirking. He's smirking. He's not even jumping around. He's not being overly cocky. I want to make that clear. He wasn't being openly disrespectful, like doing a bit. He was just kind of smirking, no jumping around, and just kind of leaning against the cage, not even really walking back and forth. He just sat there dripping confidence. And it was the wife and I had taken, and we both looked and said, oh my gosh, that smirking guy is getting ready to murder the other guy. And sure enough, boom, the fight kicks off. And the guy who was smirking was clearly going to be a serious professional one day. And the other guy very clearly had just gotten into all this. He got absolutely destroyed, knocked out on his feet within, I think it was honestly within 15 seconds. It was over. I look at what's happening right now with politics in America, and I'll be honest with you, it makes me a little nervous. Raiding the home of Donald Trump is it's a bridge you don't come back from. And they raided the home of Donald Trump a few months before the midterm election. And it created such an outrage that they acted like they were going to tell you why they did it. But instead of telling you why they did it, they released a memo. Honestly, when you release a memo like they released today, that's just all black lines, it doesn't tell anybody anything, you've done that on purpose. That's you giving the entirety of America a gigantic middle finger. That's what that is. In fact, that's you giving all of America a double middle finger. You'd have been better off not releasing anything than what they released today. And I sat and I thought about that, and I thought about the student loan giveaway and the raid and the affidavit and it occurred to me. In the hiring of 87,000 IRS agents. Remember, that's not really popular anywhere. And it occurred to me. We are sitting here facing the midterms. It's August 26th. We're facing midterm elections. We're getting fired up. 40, 50 seats, baby. We're slapping ourselves in the face. We're doing jumping jacks. I'm ready to go. And they're sitting over there smirking at us. Why are they not worried? Anyone want to explain that? Because I have two explanations, and I don't know which one's worse, but they are not conducting themselves like people who are about to get in a cage match. They're conducting themselves like people who think the fight is already won. Why are they not worried? There are two explanations. One, they're going to cheat again. I have told you before, I don't buy that when it comes to the midterm elections. Because remember, when it comes to election cheating, where do they do the cheating? Well, everywhere they can, but where does the cheating really, happen a lot? It happens in the blue, the deep blue urban areas. You're going to cheat in New York City. You're not going to cheat in upstate. You're just not. You own New York City, so you cheat in New York City. Okay, so let's set the cheating thing aside for the midterms. Maybe that'll save them a couple seats, but I don't think that's really going to affect congressional races the way it does presidential races. What does it tell me? Why are they sitting over there smirking while we're all fired up? It tells me these people are not at all afraid of the GOP. You realize somebody, I forget who it was, I'd give him credit. It was not my thought. I don't know who to give credit to because I just saw it in passing. Somebody had tracked the last two midterm elections. And he said something to the effect of, the polls had underestimated just how well the GOP was going to do in the last two midterms. Long story short, he said, if you go off what the last two went, the GOP might win 50 seats. I believe he said 53 was his estimate. Okay, so if the GOP is going to win the Senate and 53 more seats in the House, the Republican Party is going to absolutely have control of Congress, and Democrats, the DOJ, FBI, IRS, all of them, they're completely unafraid. Why? I think we know why. I don't necessarily want to put it into words. It's a Friday. Who wants to bring everybody down? But I think these people understand GOP leadership in the House, in the Senate. It is going to keep any real reform from happening. Don't forget, we're just a couple months removed from 15 Republican senators joining with the Democrats to pass gun control. I think they know we're soft. All right. Republicans are being told to leave New York. And someone asked a question about 9/11. How would we respond today? We'll get to both those things next. I want to get to this email real quick first, though. Jesse, what is the difference between MyPillow moccasins and women's flats? Says I can say his name. His name is Dan. Well, let's be clear about something. I'm talking about the horrible-looking ballet flats that women wear in professional settings. They'll wear them out as if that's somehow appropriate attire. MyPillow moccasins, I mean, the lady can wear what she wants to wear around the house, no? I wear my moccasins around the house all the daggone time because they're glorious. And don't forget, right now, MyPillow has a huge sale on their moccasins, slips, sandals. You have to go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, and use the promo code Jesse. There is a screaming deal on all of these things. Highly would recommend. You know what? You might want to try their sandals, too. I don't have a pair, full disclosure. My wife does and says they're glorious. So I'm getting a pair now. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Go take advantage of it. Get a couple pair. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You know, you really got to give a shout out. You got to give a shout out to New York Governor Kathy Hochul when she's not running Republicans out of the state. She's being Captain Obvious.
And the decisions were made to have all the kids go home and learn remotely. Wow. Wow. What a mistake that was.
I'm sorry? All these people who've wrecked your kids, they're all going to spend time acting like it wasn't them who wrecked your kids. All right, now, let's get to something here. Let's get to Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. It's time. Don't forget, we still have Ghislaine Maxwell news. Oh, gosh. The Hunter Biden news. You want to talk about open corruption? I'll get to that in about 10 minutes from now, but this is a good question. Jesse, if 9/11 happened today, how would the response be different than it was in 2001? Of course, it would be 100% Trump's fault, he says, and also not that big of a deal since most of the dead are white men. But what else would be said? We talk about 9/11 memories because it was such an impactful day, but I think we also like to just remember how different America was back then. He says, I love your candor. Says I can say his name. His name is Phil. I think this is difficult to put this into words because it was thinking about the day still brings so much anger and sadness up in so many people. I know it does in me. I'm not going to tell you this story again. I told you again, watching the towers go down from my barracks room. Not a big cry or tears coming down my face. But I will tell you, it's not inaccurate to say in the wake of 9/11, at least briefly, there was this feeling of national unity. There was this feeling we were all in it together. You can picture like it was yesterday, regardless of your feelings of him now. You can picture like it was yesterday, George Bush walking into the rubble, New York City, standing up there, giving inspirational speeches, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, everyone cheering, coming together, woohoo! I don't know how to put this into words because I don't know when and how this happened, but we are unquestionably a different country now, and that was just 20 years ago. Remember, that's two decades ago now. It's 21 years ago. We are so different now. We are so much more divided. It's obviously the fault of the communist. I just don't know how and why, but this is what I think it is. Remember, these people feel totally comfortable speaking like this now on MSNBC.
You have millions of people tuning into a propaganda network every night. And then, as if that were not bad enough, that's an extremist network itself. You have these fringe pop-up outlets. At this point, I do think we have to have serious conversations around preparing for actual violence. People keep saying a civil war is coming. I would say a civil war is here.
How did that happen so fast? And I'm not naive. I understand. We weren't some just big lovey-dovey unified country back the day before the towers fell. I know there's always been political division and fights and things like that, but not like now. Not like now. I'm not saying there's going to be a civil war. I won't go that far. But we are at a political phase of our country that is as heated as it was back then before the Civil War. That is the level of hatred we have for each other. And I admit, I'm part of that. I hold that level of hatred for the communists. And I know they hold that level of hatred for me. I understand that. I don't know how it happened so fast, but this is what I believe. I talk a lot about, just stay with me for a second. I talk a lot about school board races and winning local elections, right? And what do I say when I talk about that? We look at the country as if the country's a big tree. And what do you see when you see a big tree? You see the leaves and you see the branches. That's what you see when you see a big tree. But that's actually not what makes the tree go. What makes the tree go is what? The roots. It's the local elections, the roots. So whatever happens down there at the roots works its way up through the trunk, out into branches, and into the tree, and into the leaves. What's been happening in this country for quite some time is they took the roots. I've been doing a lot of research lately on the history of communism and its entrenchment in America. And the first thing they did was the teachers' unions. It was the first thing. They knew that's where they had to go. They understood they had to be very careful at first as they begin to dip their toe in the water here. But they understood, hey, teachers' unions, that's what we need. We get the teachers' unions, then we get to educate the kids, then it'll just take some time. So they started out with the kids. They started out educating kids. And this is decade after decade after decade after decade. And that was them taking over those roots. And soon they began working their way up. Because that tree was all freedom loving, baby, for a long time. But they got the roots. And they began to work their way up and slowly work their way up through the trunk. And they're working their way up. While I talk about the trunk here, they're beginning to work their way up all through the university system, making sure they control that aspect of the education system. Well, once you have the university system and the grade schools, now you own all the roots because those are the roots of a society. And then you're starting to work your way into the churches. And then you're starting to work your way into corporate America and work your way into the government. Once they took over the education system, it began a slow work your way up through the country as they began to go from the roots into the trunk. And what I think we've really seen, especially in the last two decades, I think we've finally seen they've even broken out of the trunk and now they're in the branches and the leaves and they have it all. I think what we're seeing is a culmination of 100 years of communist rule coming up. They took over the roots, and it just simply took this much time to get them up. And don't discount this. Don't discount Barack Obama's effect on this. You can hate him all you want. I hate him more than any politician in American history. He was really good. He was really smart, really good, made himself sound so cool, kind of moderate, but he was a radical, America-hating communist nutjob, and he had 8 years where he used his power filling the government, not with Democrats, with radical America-hating nutjobs. And now they're all throughout the government. They're the leaves now. That's what got us to where we are today. Kathy Hochul is the governor of the second most powerful state, probably, in the United States of America, New York. And she feels totally comfortable. This is a headline from the New York Post. Kathy Hochul's call for 5.4 million Republicans to leave New York is dangerous and disgusting. She told 5 million of her own citizens to, quote, just jump on a bus and head down to Florida where you belong, okay? You're not New Yorkers. Oh, that's her exact quote, Michael. There's not a Democrat governor in the United States of America who would have uttered those words 20 years ago. Not one. Now, it's not like she's from some tiny state that doesn't have juice. One of the most powerful states, the most powerful governor. She feels totally comfortable looking at all her opponents and saying, up yours, leave. They work their way up through the trunk and now they have the leaves. I'll finish answering the 9/11 question next. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. In case you're worried about what's going on out here, I wouldn't worry about it. Old Joe Biden has it covered. The audio's a little shaky. I guess I'll put it to you that way. But boy, listen to what old Papa Joe has to say.
Thank you so much, Mr. President.
Oh, I'm sorry. I took control. I shouldn't do that. I'm not allowed to do that. Go ahead. You tell me.
In case you missed it, in case you couldn't hear the audio, I'll play it for you again real quick. But that's Joe Biden. He's sitting around with some reporters. He then says, I'm sorry. I took control. I shouldn't do that. I'm not allowed to do that.
Thank you so much, Mr. President.
Oh, I'm sorry. I took control. I shouldn't do that. I'm not allowed to do that. Go ahead. You tell me.
I'm not allowed to do that? Now, I understand we have a bunch of apparatchiks in the media in this country, and I have a bunch of Ask Dr. Jesse questions to get to and fun to have, but is anybody in the media going to ask Joe Biden who's in charge? Because, look, this is not a one-off. This is something that has happened consistently. They told me I have to call on, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not allowed to do that. Nobody wants to ask Joe. Get in trouble with who, Joe? Not allowed to do that? Joe, who gives you permission on what you can and can't do? Probably something worth asking. All right, to answer the guy's question, he asked, how would 9/11, how would the response be different today? Man, I think it would immediately be political. Immediately be political. If 9/11 happened under a Democrat president, there would be more of a rallying cry from the media to go after whoever did it. If it happened under a Republican president, that you wouldn't even get 2 hours of unity before they blamed. Democrats would be voting on the president's impeachment and blaming him within an hour. That's where we're at now. And that's an ugly place to be, so let's move off from that. Let's do one more ugly thing. Art gallery repping Hunter Biden received $500,000 federal COVID loan. Just, I want you to understand this. I don't know how to say these words because they're all fancy Manhattan words, but the Georges Burgess Gallery, I don't know how to say these words. Is that right, Michael? I nailed it. Boom. Community college, baby. Almost 3 years of community college credits. I knew I'd nail it. Gosh. All right. The Georges Burgess Gallery on West Broadway in Manhattan. It initially had received a $150,000 COVID disaster assistance loan from the SBA, the Small Business Association. They recently revised the loan to give them $350,000. Now, that seems kind of out of nowhere. Why would that happen? That's really weird. Until you look into it and you figure out this is the art gallery where you can buy Hunter Biden's art. Again, back to what I was talking about at the very beginning of the show. The corruption is so naked. It's so in our faces now. It's like they're not worried at all about anything. They're not worried about Republicans even one teeny tiny little bit. Isn't that an indictment of us? Isn't that an indictment of us that they're sitting there? They know they're facing huge losses, whatever the losses are, 20 seats, 40 seats, 50 seats, whatever they are definitely, no one's debating this. They're going to lose control of the House of Representatives, and they're sitting there smirking at us. They're sitting there shoveling mass tons of money out the door to their friends, Hunter Biden. Hey, solar panel company, here's some taxpayer-funded millions. They're hiring IRS agents to go after their opponents, and they're so completely unafraid. Unafraid. Why don't you go down to Manhattan and go check out old Hunter Biden's art. I'm sure that's really great art. Have you ever seen it, Michael? It's so terrible. I didn't even know anything about art. The wife loves to go in these art galleries and stuff. I'm always just sitting outside. I'm like, I'm good. I'll sit out here and look at homeless people or something. But anyway, Jesse, before I read this, remember, I talked last night about how blessed we are that the lights have always come on here. We don't know America. You don't know in America. I don't know in America where we flip the switch and the lights don't come on. where the power's out. And 20 million Americans, as we speak, one in six households are behind on their power bill. Entire nations already in places like Africa, they're giving up power. They don't have power anymore. And I was talking about how blessed we are. We don't realize how blessed we are. And I'm right there with you, right? We just don't realize how blessed we are. Here's an email. Jesse, I played baseball professionally, surrounded by a lot of guys from Venezuela. We were living in a dorm a few years back and had a power outage one night for about an hour. Came back on, no worries. Went to breakfast the next morning and sat down with a Venezuelan guy. He told me, Poppy, I've been here 5 years. That's the first time I've ever seen the power go out. In Venezuela, it happens every day, 4, 5, 6 hours at a time. And they said, I'll never forget that. We have been so blessed by God in this country. And honestly, when you look into America, just set all politics aside, set everything, set even, you know, the founders aside. Let's just set all that stuff aside. What America has, it's a gigantic gold mine. We have these huge oceans on either side of us that not only gives you shipping lanes, it gives you protection. You have a big ocean between you and someone who might want to hurt you. But then let's just set that aside. Do you know in Russia, there aren't that many natural resources? Now, they have some. They have some oil and things like that. But if you look at how big, how vast Russia is, their natural resources are not very good, to be frank, especially for a country of that size. You look at America's natural resources, the things we have here, it's honestly like we found the Garden of Eden. It is. It's endless. We have everything. Not just oil, gold, copper, you name it. We have it all here. And because of our free system and because of our blessings and things like that, we just have grown up. I certainly have. We have grown up in a country of such abundance that even if you visited other places, as I have, as you maybe have, you still don't fully comprehend how the other half lives. You have a little window into it, but you can't possibly fully comprehend it. I can't possibly fully comprehend it. You ever been to a hospital and you have an emergency situation and they told you, sorry, you're going to have to go sit in the waiting room with that broken leg for 12 hours. You ever had that ever in your life? No, you certainly haven't. Neither has anyone you love. You know that's the norm in many places. You know, there are places around the globe where, because of transportation, because of the access to facilities, people are 6, 7 hours at least from any kind of medical facility at all. You don't know what that's like. I don't know what that's like. I've been in the hinterlands, right? I've been elk hunting in the mountains. I've never been that far away from medical facilities. We don't realize how good we have it. And sadly, we probably won't until it's gone. All right. Someone wants to know, well, about Kid Rock and Ghislaine Maxwell's back in the news. We'll get to that. So speaking of abundance and it possibly going away, I have told you over and over and over again about what I've been doing. I have been stocking up on things because it makes me feel better. It makes me feel more secure. When I look at the things I have taken to make sure I have access to clean water, it makes me feel better. When I look at my emergency food supply from my Patriot Supply, it makes me feel better. They've been doing this a long time. 4- and 5-star reviews. 2,000 calories a day. They will give you an emergency 3-month food kit. Good food, too. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, drinks. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to go buy another 10 cans of beans in the grocery store. This stuff is good for decades. 25-year shelf life. And they have a $250 deal right now, $250 off. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. That'll get you an emergency food kit for $250 off. All right? Go now.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
And the decisions were made to have all the kids go home and learn remotely. Wow. Wow, what a mistake that was.
the gall on these people, the gall on all these lockdown tyrants who are now out there acting like they're somehow these fighters of freedom. You've got to be daggone kidding me. All right, let's get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions since it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Hi, oh tall one. The other day you mentioned you saw Kid Rock twice, but would not speak of when one of those times were. It was Woodstock 99, wasn't it? Says I can say his name. It's Vinny from Long Island. Of course his name's Vinny. Vinny's awesome. He's called in before, Michael. You remember Vinny's good people. All right. It was actually not at Woodstock in 99. I wouldn't have been too young. I graduated high school in 99, so I was 17, 18 years old. One time I saw Kid Rock, you remember, it was at the Republican National Convention in Tampa. He went on, put on a small little show down there. The other time was epic. I've told this before, but it was a long time ago, so I'll tell it again. I joined the Marines on the delayed entry program. I think they still have it. I'm sure they still do. And here's what that meant. You sign up to join the Marines, but you don't ship off to boot camp the day you sign the contract. You can, and I think if I remember right, you could delay it like a year or 6 months or whatever you wanted. I didn't want that. I forget my reasoning. I probably just wanted to party, but I wanted to go at the end of the summer. I know I had signed up at the end of the school year after I'd practically flunked out of college, and I said, I'll go in August. Just take me in August. Well, we knew, obviously, I was joining. I joined with a friend, and we knew that our time of freedom was coming to an end. He was going infantry with me, Marine Corps infantry, so. We had heard that the summer sanitarium tour was awesome. And I think they still do a sanitarium tour with different bands, obviously. But back then, it was Power Man 5000 and System of a Down opening for Kid Rock, Korn, and Metallica. And we heard that this concert was coming to Denver. Well, I was living up in Bozeman at the time. I think that's like a 10, 11-hour drive. And Denver's such a sick, underrated town. Anyway, I love Denver. I know the libs have kind of trashed it, but Denver's a really cool place. Colorado itself is just freaking beautiful. I really do hope half the state secedes because the poor freedom lovers in Colorado are stuck with a bunch of commie, hippie nutballs up there. Anyway, I'm not going to get distracted. So we drive down to Denver. Of course, we don't have any money to fly or anything like that. We drive down to Denver, and my buddy's dump of a car. We get to Denver, and... we go, that's where we went and saw Kid Rock. I think, man, don't quote me on this. That might have been in Mile High Stadium. Michael will probably look this up. You'd probably look it up and see where it was because this would have been in 2000. It would have been the year 2000. So probably July of 2000, I would guess, the Summer Sanitarium Tour in Denver. That's where we went. And I remember that was because I'd never been to really a big major concert before. I've been to a couple smaller ones in Bozeman, but Bozeman, Montana is not going to get big musical acts. It was in Mile High, Michael? Okay, I thought so. It was in Mile High in Denver. I remember how angry and shocked we were. We went there, and remember, we didn't have any money, right? It was poor. We didn't have any money. We got into the concert, and I'll never forget this. Beers were $20. Michael, it was for a Bud Light. Yeah, I think it was like the 16-ounce metal bottles. In 2000, beers were $20. I remember we pooled our money together to get, I think there were four of us, and I think we all got a beer. Like one of my buddies had a 50 on him, and I think we all got one beer. And from that, we were just devastated that we couldn't afford any beer in the place. And in case you're wondering, yes, I understand if you're doing the math, Mr. Goody Two Shoes, I wasn't quite 21 years old yet. Let's just say... they were pretty lax about the enforcement of things when it comes to a Kid Rock, Korn, and Metallica concert. It was a wild time. They were lax about a lot of things at the Kid Rock, Korn, and Metallica concert back then. Cops didn't care. It was great. I mean, it's terrible. It's awful. Don't ever do something like that. All right. Ghislaine Maxwell's in the news. Before we get to Jiz, let's get to cell phones. Cell phones, an easy way to put your money where your morals are. There is, I've yet to hear the good excuse for why you haven't switched to Pure Talk. And I'm not talking down to anybody. I'm not judging you, but it's just when it's less than 10 minutes, Why not switch? And I want to explain. When I say less than 10 minutes, you get on the phone, you tell them what you're looking for. You're probably going to say, I want to keep my phone, keep my number. You can have a new phone, a new number, but keep your phone, keep your number. It's all done over the phone. They mail you a SIM card with specific instructions. You take out your old one, you put in the new one, and you're done. Not only are you done, the average family saves $900 a year. Your bill, my bill got cut in half. Dial #250 from your cell phone and say Jesse Kelly. Less than 10 minutes? Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. By the way, when you do that for a limited time, but when you do that, you get a month free. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. Ghislaine Maxwell's in the news before I get back to these questions, because someone has a good one about Jeff Sessions and do I consider him low T GOP? And look, the Ghislaine news is not that important in and of itself. Her lawyers are suing her because they say she owes them $900,000 in legal fees. But I don't expect you to care about that. I don't expect you to start a GoFundMe in the name of Ghislaine Maxwell and her legal fees. So I'm not worried about that. But it does occur to me, how wild is this? Jeffrey Epstein was an international trafficker of underage women. We know because of tapes we have from behind the scenes stuff with ABC and interviews with Bill Gates. We know he had ties to some of the most powerful men in the world, Bill Clinton, Bill Gates. Like we understand that Jeffrey Epstein internationally trafficked underage girls with some of the most powerful men on the planet. Then he goes to jail, federal jail. And the guards fall asleep and the cameras malfunction and he kills himself. And then, since he's gone, right, his right-hand woman, some people claim she was actually the one in charge and he was the right hand, by the way. Some people even claim she was Mossad. I don't know about all. I mean, you can get deep in the weeds with that. Anyway, his right-hand woman, we'll just call her that, Ghislaine, she has to go up on trial. They seal the trial. They seal the lists. We aren't allowed to know anything. We're talking about the abuse, the rampant, organized abuse of children. We're talking about children. There's somebody who knows who our wealthy and powerful people are, not just in America, around the globe. So there's somebody very much alive who knows the names. She's got the lists. She was right there at the same parties. In fact, she was the one recruiting and grooming. This is the person who knows all the secrets. And we don't know what she knows? How is that information that is not allowed to be brought to public? And look, I'm not naive. I know how that happens. The wealthy and powerful, they own enough judges. They own enough of the legal system that they can make sure their dirty secrets are kept secret forever. But man, imagine what would happen if we actually had a media in this country. The media who was more than happy to leak everything from Trump, whether it was true or false, at a moment's notice. They can't get their hands on Epstein's list and let us know who exactly the pedophiles are who are running this society? That seems like fairly important information, no? All right. Dr. Shogun Jesse. Mixed feelings about Jeff Sessions. Good man or low T GOP? I have thoughts on Jeff Sessions. I think it'll probably apply to you, probably to me. I'll tell you in a second.
This is an iHeart podcast.